Good morning, welcome to Nach Yomi. This is Rabbi Yaakov Trump, and we're beginning the Megillah of Eicha. Before we begin, what we're going to do is we're going to do one podcast on introduction, so we're going to spend today just getting a sense of what the Sefer is before we delve in. Megillas Eicha is made up of five prokim, or five chapters, and is usually read on the night of Tisha B'Av. Let's understand what this Sefer, what this Megillah is all about. Let's first think about authorship for a moment. One thing that is very clear from the Megillah is that when we read the Megillah, it sounds like the person who is speaking from first-hand experience. If for an example, in Perek Gimel, Ani Hagever, I am the man. He is describing what he sees, which indicates it must be somebody living at the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and all the tragedies that occur. In fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Tezvov Amud Aleph tells us that the author of this Sefer, of course, is Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah the prophet, and that is reflected in the Aramaic Targum translation into Aramaic at the beginning of the Sefer, which starts, Omar Yirmiyahu Neviyahu V'Kahano Rabo Eichdun Yisgazor Al Yerushalayim. The beginning is it starts off by the description of Yirmiyahu, the prophet, who's the Kohen, and describing the destruction of Yerushalayim. In fact, in the Septuagint, the Sefer starts the same way following the Targum. There are many ways that we can actually see. If you actually look at Megillas Eicha, you can see that it clearly is Yirmiyahu from four different vantage points. One is that in the book of Yirmiyahu, he composes numerous kinos himself. So in the book of Yirmiyahu, we see Yirmiyahu being mekonein, lamenting the destruction, or lamenting the impending destruction, as an example in Perek Ches of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Another point, there are many joint expressions which are shared between Megillas Eicha and Yirmiyahu. So, for instance, in the third parak pasuk Memches, Palgei Mayim Teirad Eini Al Sheva Basami, the Mekonen in Eicha says, "So much water has flown from my eye, or my eyes will let out on the brokenness of my people." Almost identical words in the eighth parak of Yirmiyahu, Al Sheva Basami Hoshparti, I was broken through the brokenness of my people. He goes on to say that in two pesukim later, Mi Yeten Rashi Mayim, who will give water for my head, ve'eni mekor dima, where my eyes, the place of tears, ve'evke yomam v'alad, and I'll cry day and night. Very similar expressions, and there's numerous similar expressions. A third point of similarity is that there is a parallels between the writer of Perek Gimel of Eicha and the life experiences of Yirmiyahu. We see him describing persecution, beatings, imprisonment. These are all things that Yirmiyahu experienced in his life, trying to be a prophet at a very difficult time. And fourth point of parallel between Sefer Yirmiyahu and the book of Eicha is the main themes of Yirmiyahu to be found in Eicha as well. The main themes of Yirmiyahu are that Hashem is giving a punishment, and it's not just a geopolitical issue. He talks about the guilt of false prophets. He talks about not to trust in foreign alliances of other kingdoms who you think are alluring. He talks about the ratification of the justice of Hashem, Tzidduk HaDin, and a begging for revenge against the nations and begging for teshuva. All these themes to be found clearly in Sefer Yirmiyahu are found in the book of Eicha. In fact, we can actually date a specific moment in time when it was that Yirmiyahu wrote this Sefer. If you take out a Sefer Yirmiyahu and you read Perek Lamed Vav, the 36th chapter, there's an incredible incident which is described during the reign of a king called Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim is the son of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu HaMelech was an incredible king. Yoshiyahu HaMelech brought about tremendous spiritual reform, but his son was not cut from the same cloth. Yoyakim was a terrible king. Yoyakim believed, he listened to the false prophets, he believed he could fight Babylon, and in fact, he was the worst king that Yirmiyahu had to deal with. He was not the last king was Tzidkiyahu, but Yoyakim was the most difficult king that Yirmiyahu had to deal with. And Yirmiyahu, at this point in time, it sounds like he's incarcerated, and he writes, he gets a prophecy, and he tells his scribe, Baruch ben Neriah, to write down, based on the command of Hashem, V'kosavta eleo es kol advorim, kach no Megillah Sefer, take a Megillah, and write in it all the things that have happened from the times of Yoshiyahu till now, to describe what's going to be happening. Though most of the Mepharshim understand that that refers to the first three prakim of Megillas Eicha, meaning, in the fifth year of the times of Yoyakim, that is when Yirmiyahu composed the first three chapters of Eicha, which means he is giving a prophetic description of the destruction that has not yet happened. Remember, Yoyakim is not going to witness the destruction. In fact, after his death, there's going to be his son Yechoniah, and then there's going to be Tzidkiyahu, for another 14 years. So there's a long time between now and the destruction, but Eicha therefore is pre-authored in a certain sense according to this. What actually happens in that episode? So it says that Baruch Benira went over and he first read it to a small group of people who were terrified by this description. It was a fast day. Apparently that instituted a fast day now because the Babylonians were encroaching on the north. It was a moment where it was opportune for Teshuvah. And what happens is that these people are so moved, they say, you know, Baruch, you should go and read it to the nobleman. He goes and reads it to the nobleman, and the noblemen are also floored by this description. It's so horrific. It's so terrifying. They say, you know, we should leave it out in front of the king so the king can read it. But you, Baruch and Yirmiyahu, make yourself scarce. Try to disappear if you're able to, so that you're not going to find the repercussions of the king. The king has his scribe read it to him. And without blinking, it seems that there's no reaction, no emotional reaction. The king, Yoyakim, rips up the Megillah. He has his sofer rip it up and burns it in the fire. And at that point in Akutam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Yirmiyahu and says, Yirmiyahu, this king is going to die. His carcass, his corpse is going to be left out in the fields, and all the prophecies are going to come about. And he commands Yirmiyahu to write that Megillah again. And it says, "V'od nosaf alehem devarim rabim kohema." He adds on many things like them, which the Mefarshim, the Abarbanel, says, quoting Chazal, that he added the last two chapters of Eicha. So it's fascinating, according to this description, it would seem that Yirmiyahu is not sitting after the destruction, but rather before it, which is even more terrifying. This is predating the destruction itself. It seems, by the way, that the fact that Yirmiyahu was prepared to add on these kinos, was prepared to add on the last two chapters, is the same model that we've done. We keep adding and adding to Megillas Eicha, so that on the morning and the night of Tisha B'Av, we keep adding based on the times and the terrible tragedies, lo aleinu, that the nation of Israel have faced, and we keep adding like Yirmiyahu kept adding. In terms of the breakdown of the Sefer, it's broken up into five basic prakim, and each one of them is its own kinna. The first chapter seems to be about the betrayal of Israel of Hashem, describing the relationship of wife and mother and how that relationship is deeply broken and estranged. The second berak is more about the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the nation. And there's this wondering, how could it be that there was no mercy whatsoever on the people of Israel? The third berak is actually now singular first person. It's first person description, less focus on destruction and more about the repercussions of destruction, the social equivalent, the social ramifications of the destruction. The author seems to lose hope, and then he regains at the end when he understands that tshuva is necessary. The fourth kinah, which is the fourth perek, it seems to be more similar to the second perek, describing the total anger and destruction that ensues, and there is a call for justice, for vengeance of the nations in the future. And finally, the fifth perek seems to be the refugees, the orphans, the destroyed families who are taken to exile, looking back, describing the atrocities they saw committed in Jerusalem and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring them back. It seems very clearly there's a progression in the description of the Sefer as Yirmiyahu was intending as he did this. We should also note that the Sefer is structured in alphabetical order, which means that perek Aleph, Beis, and Dalet are structured in Aleph Beis, which means to say that each of them has a sum total of 22 psukim. Aleph is the first letter of the first pasuk, Beis is the second letter of the first letter of the second pasuk, and so onwards. The third perek is unique in that it has the Aleph Beis structure three times over. So there are shorter psukim, so it goes Aleph, 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 Beis, 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 all the way through. And finally, the last perek, although is not in complete alphabetical order, has a sum total of 22 psukim, which is the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Where Mordechai Zer Kavod suggests that what this indicates is almost as if there's seven. If you count those up, there's seven iterations of the Aleph Beis, which are being expressed over here. Why seven? So you go back to the description of the curses in Parshas Bechukosai, in Vayikra Perek Chavav, it describes, V'mal Eile Lo Tishmu Le, Hashem says, if you're not going to listen to me, you're going to keep ignoring my warnings and my prophets, V'yosavti Li Yasroi Eschem Sheva Achat Eschem, I will continue to inflict upon you this pain sevenfold over. It's almost as if Yirmiyahu is reflecting that sevenfold description in the Aleph Beis. Why Aleph Beis particularly? So there's a Medrash Tadshe in the 20th chapter which suggests that it's easier to remember when you have the Mekonen, the person who is lamenting, they can easily remember it if it is in fact in alphabetical order. However, the Medrash deepens it and says it could also be that these are the 22 apertures of expression in the world. These are the 22 metaphysical building blocks of this entire world. And it's almost as if the entire natural, physical, and metaphysical world is coming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and lamenting the betrayal of Israel, they betraying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger upon them. There's such a disgust about what led up to this and a pain at what's happening. And the whole world, so to speak, is in protest of this experience. And finally, let's take a look at the name of the Sefer. Then, interestingly enough, the name of the Sefer in Chazal is Kinos, not Eicha. The name is Kinos, which is, in fact, the academic translation that we use today is a translation of that word, which is Lamentations. This is Lamentations, and why is it Lamentations in plural? Because it isn't one lamentation. It clearly is five delineated lamentations, and as we saw from Yirmiyahu, it seems there were two specific stages in which this was composed in the times of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. But if we go a little further, we call it Eicha, and that's not just because we cut and pasted the first word of the Megillah, which is Eicha, but it actually relates to the idea of the word itself. And that is that, in fact, the Medrash, the beginning of Eicha, describes that there are three times that Eicha appears in the Torah. One appears in Sefer Devarim, in the very first perek, that's the 12th Pasuk, where it says, Eicha esel of Adi, Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I bear you alone? You're such a burden, you're bickering, you're fighting all the time. The second time was Yeshayahu in the first parak, which is after of Shabbos Chazon. Eicha ha'isa l'zona. How has she become a harlot? Kiryah ne'emona, the faithful city. Mileisi mishpat tzedek yolinbo va'atomerat tzchim. It was a city which was full of justice, and now it is full of murderers. And the third one is Yirmiyahu. The Medrash notes this, and it describes how it's a young lady who's being witnessed by her friends in three different moments in her life, in her successful times, in her haste, and in her disgrace. In fact, the way we can possibly understand this, I saw a beautiful article written by Rav Moshe Ehrenreich, who says that this describes three stages of the nation of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu noticed there were hairline fractures, there were problems. These people are difficult. They don't work so easily. But nonetheless, they were at a particularly successful time. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can see their problems. Later on, those problems start unfolding in the times of Yeshayahu HaNavi, and he's saying, there's something really going wrong. If we're not going to correct this now, things are going to go worse. But this is still tens of years, 100 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then finally, Yirmiyahu was describing, as it was unchecked, as the doctor saw, you did not do the interventions necessary. Unfortunately, now there's terrible sickness, with the hope that there will be a healing. And finally, it's worthwhile noting that the word Eicha is also related, as the Midrash says, not just to the word Eicha, but to the word Ayaka. Same letters. Ayaka means, where are you? Where is that word used in Tanakh? Very early. In Sefer Bereishis, Adam HaRishon sins. He realizes he's sinned. He and Chava go and hide in the garden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to him and says, Ayeko, where are you? The Midrash says that's similar to the word Eicha. Why? The Aleph, the Yud, the Chav, the Hey. How is this similar? So Rav Soloveitchik suggests a very beautiful thing. Rav Ziegler quotes Rav Soloveitchik as saying a very powerful idea, and that is that Adam HaRishon, the only way he could possibly sin is when the infinite is in front of you, is you have to pretend that the infinite isn't in front of you anymore. You have to pretend that they're not there. And that's how you can hide yourself as if he isn't there. That's what Adam HaRishon was doing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking him, he wasn't just starting a conversation, he was saying, where are you? Where do you put yourself that you think I'm not in the picture? And so when Yirmiyahu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eicha, how could this be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could you allow this to happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, Eicha, how could it be that you hid yourself from me? Because ultimately, that's even worse than destruction, is the fact that you believe that there was a world that could have had the absence of me in it. This is perhaps the idea which Yirmiyahu is being described, and this is another parallel to the idea of its title. This leaves us in a point where we can start Perek Aleph, and that'll be tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.